Hi guys, we have thoughts, a podcast about movies. Right now we're doing the 2022 Best Picture Oscar nominees, and today we're talking about the movie Dune. So it is nominated for, oh by the way, I'm Crystal, sorry.
I'm Anna.
One day I'll get this right, probably never. It's nominated for Best Picture, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Sound, Best Visual Effects, Best Production Design, Best Original Score, which you just heard from Hans Zimmer, Best Film Editing, Best Makeup and Hairstyling, Best Costume Design, and Best Cinematography. I'm really glad I said cinematography right. It's because Joy's not on the call, that's why.
You'll be hearing from her later in the episode, don't worry.
Yes, yes. So yeah, this is Dune. What do we think of Dune?
I'm hesitant to say this because I know I'm going to have to go back through all of my saved TikToks to find it.
Oh my God.
But right as the movie was being released, there was a TikTok of some lady singing and some guy on the bass, and she was going, Dune, 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 Dune. And she was singing it off of a tweet where people were like excited, and it was so epic. So every time I hear the name Dune, I hear it in my head.
That's beautiful.
And I'm so, you're so jealous you're not in my head to hear it.
I am jealous, you're right. So this was 83% on all Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know why is it like that, Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten.
Also, it was a Timothée Chalamet double feature. Because before this, we saw
That's right.
Right off the bat, first thing you hear with the score and the sound design. So good. It sets the stage.
Beautiful.
I really, really enjoyed this movie. I think part of it has to do with the fact that it was like maybe my second time back at the theaters when I saw it. It was so epic in nature, and I was just like absorbing all of it, and it was just so good. And like similar to how people feel about like Lord of the Rings or even Star Wars, I feel like I'm going to be like into this world. I'm in it.
I was so excited. I read the book back when it was supposed to come out early 2020, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I had read it in late 2019. In preparation, I was very excited. I remember my dad talking about Dune and liking it. I don't think he read it, but I think he enjoyed the original movie. So I was very excited for this. I love,
Villeneuve.
I love him very, very much. Arrival is one of my all-time favorite movies.
A fan.
I love Timothée Chalamet. I love Oscar Isaac. I love sci-fi fantasy, like this is everything I love all wrapped up in one. And this movie was a feast for the senses.
Oh man.
Visually, it was breathtaking. The music and the score were so, so next level. Hans Zimmer knows what he's fucking doing, man.
King shit, for reals.
And this was just such perfect world building. And it was such perfect setup for what's going to come and what they're going to do next. And I cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm so hyped for part two. Like, I think it's funny. I think this movie was made for us because that's so many people we like in it. Like, I like Timothée Chalamet. I love Oscar Isaac. First of all, he looks phenomenal in this movie, Oscar Isaac. Wow. Oscar Isaac, first shot I was like, okay.
Oscar Isaac playing a good dad.
Yes, King, let's go. Ooh, girl. Rebecca Ferguson, I love her. She's great. Zendaya, I adore so much.
I forgot about Zendaya.
Jason Momoa is great. Like, everyone, it was made for us, this movie. I'm convinced.
I like Stellan Skarsgård.
Oh, yeah, he's great, too. Yeah. He's another one that, like, everything he's in, he does a good job. Yeah. So, yeah, Dune. A lot of great visuals, like, in the very beginning when Zendaya has the voiceover about, like, the world and all that, the shot of them, I don't remember who they are, but they're popping out of the sand. That's really good. Just that them. And then later on, whenever they're about to attack Jason Momoa, they're coming into the, in the building where it's open, and they're just like slowly floating.
And it was like silent. It was so.
Yes.
I loved that.
It's like everyone's working on all cylinders and working together. It's so cohesive and so great.
The production, costume design, hair and makeup, like that team.
Yeah.
I will be very upset if those three aren't a win for this, because I feel like everything here looks so familiar, but it's so new and different. Like, yes. We've seen interstellar spaceships before. We've had Star Trek for generations. Like, it's been around since the 60s. And we've had Star Wars, and we've seen helicopters before. But these were all so new, and, like, the use of, like, the dragonfly wings for the helicopter, the ornithopters, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think was very so interesting.
And it was just like that detail. And the fact that they spent a year working on the design of the worm, and he's not even on the screen for like a full minute. But damn, it's impactful.
And yeah, and I'm sure he'll feature in the movie, the second movie a lot. But yeah, you can tell the amount of work and detail and commitment they put into every little thing. Oh my God. It's so much like, we've talked about this before. Like, I love watching talented people be talented, and every single person was on it. Like, when it comes to the sound, I love the sound design of the voice. Whenever she's teaching him how to do the voice with Timothée Chalamet, like that whole, it's like, it's jarring because you're not ready for it. But like, if you can feel it in your chest, like, oh.
So, and also, like, odd concept, because when you read it in the book, it's like he puts on a voice, like he's using the voice. This is my voice. Like, what are you gonna do to it?
Exactly,
but the idea to like distort it that way, and it was very smart. My only issue, and I couldn't find anything online. Granted, I didn't try too hard. I felt like Lady Jessica was just a little too emotional for me. I feel like in the book, the Bene Gesserit, they're very composed. Like, her freak out while Paul was in there with the Reverend Mother, and it happens again, I forget where, but where she's like, don't panic, or whatever. I was like, I don't think she shows that much emotion in the book, but I could be wrong. I read it a while ago.
And maybe that's why the Charlotte Rampling, the leader of the Bene Gesserit, was like annoyed with her. She's like, shut up, bitch, like, calm down.
Which I was reading up on it, and I totally forgot about this, but that reverend mother is Lady Jessica's mother.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which, maybe I shouldn't go into it, because it might be part two.
Okay, don't do it. Well, they're supposed to make a Bene Gesserit TV show on HBO Max.
Right.
I don't know if they're actually going to do it, but
that I'm very excited for.
I'm in.
But no, it does play a part in this movie, because whenever the Baron has Oscar Isaacs in the room right before he dies, he calls him cousin. And that's because Baron Harkonnen is technically Lady Jessica's father.
Whoa!
So the Bene Gesserit they can manipulate and plan their pregnancies. Like, they can, when they get pregnant, they can make it a boy or a girl.
Damn.
So they've been working behind the scenes for a long time to bring forth the Kizat Hadarat, or I'm fucking that up, but to bring forth the one. And so part of that was like, we need to combine the houses of Harkonnen and Atreides. And so the Reverend Mother was like, I need you to give me a Harkonnen baby. And so he brutally raped her. And Lady Jessica was born, and as punishment, she cursed him with the obesity so that he can't walk, and that's why he floats around everywhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, I had forgotten about all that, and I reread it, that trivia, while I was watching.
I really like that, because a lot of great shots in this movie. Like, I like the shot of, Timmy, like, stepping into the projection of the map, that lighting on his face is really great. I like the haunting image of, like, when Oscar Isaac is lying there and Stellan Skarsgård is like floating across the table and it's out of focus. Oh man.
But that shot of him, like the way he's laying there, is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Like a painting, like a Renaissance painting.
Yes, I'm obsessed with that image of him. Not only because he's naked, but because it's such beautifully done.
That's the real reason why you want it. I'll print it out and put it in the frame for your apartment.
Thank you. Another shot I really enjoy was when the thing was trying to attack Timmy. And he's hiding in his room and those like weeds or whatever they are. And that light is like framed across him. And then he catches the thing. Like, I thought that shot was really interesting too.
Very well executed.
I cannot get over the production design, like the doors, everything feels like enormous to how small they are. It kind of reminds me a bit of like the tragedy of Macbeth.
You're right.
The walls are, you know, 20 feet where it's towering over people, but this is a bit more, but that simplistic modern architecture reminds me
of it. Feels like a grand scale, you know?
Yeah. Like when he walks out of his room right before the big attack happens, Oscar Isaac's, like that whole area was just so, like, I want to run around in it and like look around and find all the details because I'm sure there's details we didn't get to see.
Oh, I'm sure. I also like the shot of Timmy and Josh Brolin like hanging off of the aircraft where they see the worm for the first time. Beautiful. Yes. It's staged so perfectly. It's so symmetrical. It's my eyes are a feast. Like,
I feel like we could literally go shot by shot for this movie and just like this podcast could be 3 hours long of us just saying like, oh, right here, let's pause it again. It's been 5 seconds. Look at this shot. Look at this composition.
Another thing, like when they're in the ship, whenever Lady Jessica and Timmy are Paul. They're in the ship with the Harkonnen, I believe. And the green lighting is really great on their faces. Mm-hmm. And then later on when they're in the ship by themselves, the yellow lighting to reflect off the sand. Oh, that is so good. Oh my God.
I forgot to go back and rewatch it, but when Homeboy of the Harkonnens goes to talk about the guy of the Sadakar, the Emperor's army. Are those people that are being upside down, are they like being bled?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. But yeah, the fact that we see so many snippets of different worlds, great. I want to see more of Caladan. I want to live on Caladan. I believe that was filmed in Norway.
I think I read that too.
We can go to Oslo.
Okay.
Because we just, Crystal and I saw The Worst Person in the World last night, yesterday. We're ready to go.
I think with this movie, it could have easily been in someone else's hands, really confusing. Because it's a lot of stuff going on. But they give us just enough to understand, but not overcrowd us with, like, what is happening? You know, like, I think they trust their audience to understand, like, this is this, and this is that, and blah, blah, blah.
I think that's also the smart choice of splitting it in two, because if we had to fit the second part in, that first hour of establishing so much would have been 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have sufficed. Like, they took their time. They weren't talking down to us and making us feel stupid. I'll tell you, when I picked up the book, I was listening to it on an audiobook, and because these are words, like, I was like, I need to see these words. I can't even imagine what they're saying. So I had to go buy the book and read along with the audiobook for a few chapters before I was like, oh, okay, I understand what they're saying. These words aren't so alien to me and I can follow along.
That's why I felt like when I was on the theater, like, I don't normally watch things with captions, but for this I did because I was like, I need to know what that word is. I need to know because I need to, like you said, visually, I need to see what it is. And plus, Lady Jessica is very faint, so it's like, what is
she saying? Frank Herbert, the author of the novel, there's so much inspiration from like the Muslim faith and community, and so there's so much of that throughout this film, which they did a great job of. But so like that language, it's not one I'm familiar enough with.
Yeah.
To know off the top of my head, I was like, I have no idea what they're saying. I need to see the spelling and like.
Right. Yeah. There's no like frame of reference, you know?
Yeah.
It's just,
but I really hope either with the Bene Gesserit TV show or with part two, we get a little bit more about the history of this world, because I think that's the only thing that was missing, but there really was no time for that.
Yeah, because like it was already 2.5 hours and I didn't feel like it was long. Like I genuinely was like, this is great. More. But it was already a long movie. So like, I understand that they had to end it. And at first I was like, when I first saw the movie, I was like, this ends really weird. But the second time I was like, no, it feels right. Cause like he meets the girl he's been dreaming of. And so now this is his journey with them.
It reminds me very much of the ending of Fellowship of the Rings. Like things are happening.
Oh, yeah.
Things are set in stone. Things are set in place. Like the path is there, but we have to end the movie.
Yeah. Because it felt abrupt the first time, but the second time it didn't. It's funny because when I watched this, the scene where Rebecca Ferguson and like Javier Bardem and all them, I was like, they must have never seen a Mission Impossible movie, because they would know that Rebecca Ferguson can fight. She's great. Love her.
Also, the Bene Gesserits are just badasses.
Yeah. Also, one of my notes is House Atreides colonizers? Question mark.
No, the Harkonnens.
No, yeah.
The Atreides were like, we want to use the people, not use the people, but
right.
Include the people of what is the name of the planet? Atrakis?
Oh shit! I wrote it down.
I only wrote that to write it down. Oh fuck me.
Because they go to.
They're the Atreides.
Yeah, and they live on Caladan. That's their home world.
Right.
And they travel to.
Arrakis.
Arrakis, yeah.
I was trying to add a T in there.
I was like, I know what the word is. That's funny.
It was like tip of my tongue. But yeah, Arrakis, they wanted to include the people of Arrakis, the freemen.
That was my initial reaction, like, well, because I think someone says, oh, I forgot who it was I said. They were like, we've been here for years and you come and you just take it. I'm like, ooh, that sounds.
I mean, they definitely feel that way. They're like.
Colonizery to me. But yeah, you're right. They were gifted this land. That wasn't.
Zendaya's opening monologue was like, we're waiting for our new oppressors.
Ooh, yeah, a little colonizery, maybe.
But they didn't know, like, oh, these people might not be that bad.
Sabotage in the end, I guess. Yeah, I love this movie. I thought it was fantastic. I get not everyone will like it. It's very, I don't say it's niche, but it's genre-y for sure. And that's okay. But I'm a Dune head. That's what they call him. I don't know. I'm also a Zimmer head. I don't know if that's what they call him either, but I'm in.
Just a fun thing about my notes. When I was writing about the Baron floating, I said, because Reverend Mommy. I said Rev Mommy cursed him.
Rev Mommy. Oh my god. Okay, let me see. Let me go through my notes here. Oh, the year was 10/191. That's crazy.
Well, and that's not even based on our calendar.
Oh.
That's based on. So that is based on the end of. I'm forgetting the first word, something jihad, where the power, AI had reached a power where it was fighting against humans. Mm-hmm. And so humans destroyed all AI and all computers. That's why there's not a lot of tech in this world. Mm-hmm. So that's 1080, whatever number you said, 10.
Yeah, 10191
after that.
Oh.
Okay. That's when they started measuring time differently, I believe. Also,
kind of like BC and all that, similar to that.
Right. That's also why, what's his name? Let me look at it real quick. I have it up. Thufir Hiwot, Stephen McKinley's character, Stephen McKinley Henderson.
Oh, yes, because he's a computer, right, isn't he?
He's what they call a mentat. And so that's the distinguish of the triangle on his chin, I believe. And then the Harkonnen guy, the bald guy, also had that.
Yeah, David something. I forgot his last name.
So they train their minds to work as computers. And that's why there's those moments where he, like, his eyes flash and then he's like, mm-hmm. the number is blah, 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 blah. Because there are no computers. There's nothing that can think like a man.
There's a joke there, but I'm not going to make it. Whenever people do things like that, like think, I always think of two things. I think of Jimmy Neutron whenever he's like, brain blast, and he has like a thought. And also like Sherlock when he's like, I'm going to my mind palace.
I love the spectrum of those.
That's what I think of all the time.
Wasn't there that show Roly Poly Oly where they're like, time to use our noodle? It was like a noodle song.
Do that noodle dance. Yeah. Wow. You unlocked a memory. There it is.
You're welcome.
Noodle. Use your noodle. Noodle. Do that noodle dance. Wow. What a bop. Anyways. Let's see. Oscar Isaac looks amazing. Oh, there should be an Oscar for casting.
Yes.
Because fantastic.
I remember when they first announced Paul as Timothée Chalamet, I was like, I'm in. Like, not just because I have like a thing for Timothée Chalamet. I think he's very talented.
Yeah, you do.
y'all, the range.
We'll be so cute together, by the way.
The range for what I like in people and guys is.
That's perfect.
It makes me laugh. Check back to last episode when I was talking about my love for Jimmy Simpson.
I don't know if you talk about it, but yeah.
Well, I love him.
Jimmy Simpson, John Cho, Timothée Chalamet. That's basically it.
Dev Patel.
Oh, girl. All right, it's not Thursday podcast, so sorry. Continue.
We can turn it into one, can't we?
Isn't it always thirsty when we're talking about Timothée Chalamet? He's cute. To me, he looks so young. So I can't look at him like that.
I think I'm really just attracted to like the fact that I think he's a really good actor.
He seems like a cool guy. Like, I honestly think like if we were to meet him, he would be so chill. Like, he would make it so comfortable and like at ease.
Yeah. You know?
He's a cool guy.
I feel like he's smart. I don't know. I appreciate him more than I think he's so cute. Fair. I think he's attractive. But I'm also attracted to him.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you are.
Like a fast person.
Because I think this movie, again, is our thirsty movie. It has everyone on our list. Like, someone from our list, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
Because Oscar Isaac is what unites us all.
Unites us all. Joy's got our Jason Momoa.
Timmy's there. Timothée Chalamet, yeah. That's so funny.
That's
hilarious.
A good movie.
Let's see. Supposed to be TV show.
Opposite of Don't Look Up, I feel like it deserves every single one of these nomination. Yeah. But it should be 11 because they should be nominated for Best Director.
Yes, that is, if he doesn't get nominated, I'm hoping, in my mind, I see it as, okay, fine, just nominate him for part two. But the fact that Anna McKay, he's not Best Director, just kidding. Who's the Best Director we have?
Kenneth Branagh. Drive My Car. I have not looked up how to pronounce your name. I will. Paul Thomas Anderson for Licorice Pizza and Jane Campion for The Power of the Dog and Steven Spielberg.
Get Kenneth Branagh out of here.
Yeah, I agree.
That movie is not inspired in the least bit to me.
No.
If you look at Dune and then Belfast direction-wise, mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Like, come on. Come on. I justify it just a little bit because he'll be nominated for part two. But if he's not,
But even so, I don't think that's an excuse to not nominate him.
Yeah, now. You're right. It's not. It's not, but it makes me feel better, I guess. One of my notes is, I want to run as Jason Momoa's arms as well. He'd be great.
There was one moment that I thought this was so awkward they could have cut it out. Is when they first land on Arrakis and Timothée Chalamet runs up to Stephen, I just had his name, Stephen McKinley Henderson's character. He's like, Thufir, hi, what? And he like runs up and like gives him an awkward hug. And I was like, this just feels very clunky.
Yeah, he was just needing a hug that day, maybe.
I'm all for it. I just felt like it was a clunky moment. That's my only...
One of my notes was, I feel like they should have some type of armor on. That was when they were getting attacked, and Josh Brolin and the troops are, like, running to attack them. I'm like, don't you, like, a gun or, like, a sword or something?
You have no armor on.
You have your PJs on. You're going to go attack.
They have those wrist things.
Yeah, but they... Didn't they have armor on before? Did I miss that?
I mean, I think the Sadakar and the Harkonnen do.
Okay. Maybe I'm getting confused. I don't know, I just felt like they were going into battle in their PJs, and I thought it was funny.
They don't have time to get into their...
They should have it, like, on their bed, like, next to their bed. I don't know. They're the army.
You tell them, Crystal.
I'm not in the army. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Army expert Crystal over here.
Girl, nah. Let's see. I wrote, damn, everybody dying. Because they're, like, I'm dying. I'm like, oh, no.
I think it was a very smart... strategy to keep all of those people in the promotion of the film, even Zendaya, even though she's like literally in 5 minutes of the film, because I don't think Timothée Chalamet has a strong enough name or Rebecca Ferguson to pull in on the audience. I think a lot of people are like, oh, Oscar Isaac, he was great in Star Wars and he's done other things. Aquaman is in it. Yes. Zendaya's in it. Let's go see
Zendaya
it.
Zendaya's definitely a pull, and there were some, they knew what they were doing. And I have a thought that maybe she'll be more involved in the second movie.
Oh, for sure.
But it makes sense also, like you said, because she's so much a part of his mind that she fuels his like thinking as far as going forward. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah. I just remember everyone was like, "Oh, yay, Oscar Isaac in a new," and I was like, "They don't know he's about to die."
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, he did. Oh, okay."
Yeah.
People keep dying, damn.
On.
Yeah, I agree. It should be all of these and one more.
Yeah. I'm so baffled by his snub.
It's the biggest snub of the season for sure.
Concur.
Maybe like, because I know the best picture is like what's the ballot called? How they rank them and then whatever gets...
Preferential.
Yeah, I don't know if the directors are like that too, because if they are, they probably thought, oh, he'll get nominated, it'll be fine. I won't put him as my number two or one or whatever. And then look what happened. He didn't get nominated.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but...
It's a bummer.
It really is. But he's great. I'm a fan of him.
He's the winner in my book.
I like how they call him... Denny. Rebecca Ferguson called him Denny. I like that.
Like Denny's.
But yeah, dude, highly recommend for my part. We can do our rankings if you want.
Okay, I'll go first this time because I think I'm going to shock you. Oh
my God, do it.
Number four, I have Don't Look Up.
I'll be like, what?
And then I have Belfast sitting at number three. Which I hope it enjoys being at the top for right now because it's not going to stay there for
long. Right, exactly.
And then number two and number one honestly are interchangeable at this moment. I love Dune and Coda for different reasons. They satisfy different parts of my film fanatic brain and heart, and I love them both equally, I think, at this moment. So Dune, I currently have sitting at number two with Coda at number one.
Literally exact same. One and two interchangeable for me. I think it's like apples and oranges. It's hard to compare the two. I really sat today and I was like, which one I like better? And I can't choose. It's a testament to our taste and our open-mindedness as far as movies are concerned. So I, for right this minute, I can't choose. But, oh man. Yeah. Yeah.
Love
Dunehead. That's me. I want a shirt.
Well, we need a Hans Zimmer shirt and a Dunehead shirt.
Yes, bitch. Yes.
We are Zimmer.
Zimmerheads. I don't know if that's a thing. Did I make it up? Probably. I'll find out.
We'll look into the fandom of Hans Zimmer.
Yes, I'm in.
There's a membership, I'm sure.
That's me, and stay tuned for joy.
We'll be back. Bye.
Bye.
And we're back. Did you miss us? Now it's me and Joy coming to you to talk about Dune.
Dune.
See, she knows it too. So Joy, jump off. Tell us what you think about this epic.
Denis Villeneuve was snubbed 100% for director.
Hundo P.
How in the fuck did the Academy not see him do this? And was like, oh yeah, he's like really passionate about this. He has a very clear vision. He executed it really well. You know, he orchestrated everything together so wonderfully.
So let's nominate Kenneth Branagh.
Make it make sense. Because Kenneth Branagh for direct... No, leave him and his mustache on the Orient Express.
Or on the
Nile River, the boat on the Nile. I am in denial that he is nominated for.
Oh, you're so funny. You're the funniest.
I really, watching it the first time, oh my God, when we saw it in theaters, I was like, thank God I see this in theaters, because, like, yeah. The sounds, the visuals, the cinematography, just, like, the whole thing of it was such a spectacle. Although I am really glad that I watched it a second time at home with the boys with subtitles on, because I had no idea what the fuck anybody was saying. Yes. I was like, I don't know this universe. Somebody please tell me who's who. What is this planet called? Where are we going? What are we doing? Because I'm like, I get the story. I don't need to know specifically what they're saying. I get it. But like, I just need like a little like, what is it? Like those little placards like, oh, this is so-and-so.
Yeah, I was... I was saying earlier that when I first listened to the books, I got it as an audiobook. I was like, they're saying all of these words that make zero sense to me. And I can't even picture how they're spelled. I had to go and buy the book and like read along with it for a minute. And be like, oh, now these words make sense. I can visualize them in my head. Right. I have a context for what they're saying. I can go. Because yeah. After you just get a grasp on the language... I feel like you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not hard to comprehend.
No. After I watched it with subtitles, I was like, okay. So all the things that I thought had happened did happen. It just gave me a little bit more clarity. Because I'm like, my hearing is not the best. And like, you're saying a lot of words with a lot of sounds happening. And like, it's not clicking. It's not 100% going into my brain. So just needed a little clarity. Can we talk about the best part of this movie? Oscar Isaac's beautiful fucking hair, face, beard situation.
My literal note is seeing Oscar Isaac being a good father is such a turn on. When he tells him, like, even if you don't want to be, you don't want to take over, you'll still be everything I ever needed you to be, and that is my son. I was like, I'm pregnant. I don't even want children, but now I'm happy.
Look, the way I just how like, I don't know, what is it, just like a natural like instinct within me that just like whenever I just, oh my God, like a good father. What the fuck is that? Like, wow.
probably our primal instincts of like, oh, he will raise good children. We must give him good children.
Not us being dumb cave women.
I mean, it happens to the best of us.
I really try to like, what do you call it? Like I guess decolonize my brain of gender norms and things like that. And then I see him and then I'm like, wow, okay, I guess I'm only a simple woman.
Nature is a real thing, and it is a powerful thing.
Yeah, this nature versus nurture shit, I could get into it all day. But Oscar Isaac's beautiful fucking face. I've been in love with this man for so long. I've been attracted to this man for so long. I don't know if anyone ever saw Sucker Punch, but God, he looks so good in that. Like, with the eyeliner and the singing and just being a little bit, like, mean? I don't know. I have problems. I got issues. I got to go see the person.
I think the first time I really saw him was Inside Llewyn Davis.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I may have known him before that. But I think that was the movie I was like,
okay,
I'm in. I'm all the way in.
He literally has not disappointed me so far. Scenes from a Marriage. Wow.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh my God, Anna. Just savor it. Savor it. The acting in that. Anyways, we're talking about Dune.
And he's also super fucking talented. Like, he's not just a pretty face.
No. He's like legitimately like, when I watched Scenes from Marriage, I just like was so taken aback by the talent between those two and like what I was seeing on my screen.
Also, two things. One, yes. I am immediately now thinking of that moment on the red carpet, and I'm very Two, I think it's very funny.
What the hell's wrong with us?
I think it's very funny that he just came off of starring in this big franchise where he was like the young, what would you classify Poe as? He was like the young hero.
Yeah, he was definitely like the Han Solo, like the suave hero, like, you know, that.
And now he's the dad.
Yeah, like, immediately went into dad mode.
I find that to be really funny. But of course, he's no longer in the Dune franchise, other than in flashbacks, maybe. But
yeah. Honestly, for that one picture of him turning slightly back at us, looking at the camera from that low angle.
This man should be illegal.
The way I just absolutely go feral for this stupid man. And I really would love to stop it and say that I don't, but like,
no, never stop.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Crystal told me she's going to get me a print of him in that chair when he's dying, because it's so artistically beautiful. Like, it's such a great shot.
Yes.
She's like, fine, I'll get you a good print for you to hang up. I'm like, yes, please. Because I love it, just because he's naked, but because it's beautiful.
Look, the cinematography in this is so, I don't know what it is about Denis Villeneuve, but like, he has a way of like being very intimate and very personal, and like subtle, even when you're doing a giant epic like this. Like, how, because, okay, I don't know if you've seen Sicario. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, worth a watch. If I'm not mistaken, he also did that too. But that movie could have very easily gone a particular way. What the hell? Sorry, one second. Yes, was that him? Jesus Christ. Sure. Yes, Denis Villeneuve. Yes, it could have very easily been very predictable and gone a certain direction, and I would have been like, okay, fine, this movie is what it is. But it was so intimate and so personal with the characters that it was so much better. And that he was able to do that with something as big as Dune, like, crazy.
Dune has a very similar feeling, I think, to Arrival. Like, it's very quiet. Yes. like you said, it's intimate, it's quiet, it's very soft for it being for it being like this. I guess you would kind of say action movie, like.
Yeah, because like there is a lot of, you know, there's the action, there's fight scenes, there's the big explosions and stuff like that. There's, you know, the giant sandworms, but like it's also like very, like very much just like a family story, like also a coming of age story.
He uses an artistic lens to look at these things rather than an action popcorn lens. Like this could very, this was, I mean, Frank Herbert's novel was the inspiration for George Lucas to make Star Wars. It's kind of like the basis of it. Yeah. So this could very easily have been another space epic where, you know, pew, pew, pew is happening all the time. But he chose but he chose like to make it really beautiful instead, and it's beautiful top to bottom.
Yeah,
I cannot get over the production of this, like the detail in the costumes and the hair. I mean, the sets were astounding. I cannot get over it, and I gushed a lot in the first half with Crystal, but I will continue to gush about how beautiful this movie is.
I was watching a behind the scenes of this, and like to see how much of it was actual practical sets that they built and how like detailed the production went in this. It's amazing. It's amazing. It really is. Like, I think to me personally, it's probably got the best shot at production design just because it's so intricate. And, like, it's so well done. And it really is, like, it's world building. It's world building because this is not, like, a world that, you know. Yeah, there was the movie from the 80s, but it's not really a world that, you know, people know. And it's such a smart choice of having him direct it because, like you said, yeah, his artistic eye for everything, it's just so, like, it's delicate with still being able to tell you the story.
Yeah. I said earlier that I will be very upset if it doesn't win costume, hair and makeup, and production design, because I feel like it deserves all three of them.
Yeah.
And, like, I was also watching a behind the scenes of them talking about the Sadakar. The Harkonnen? Oh, fuck. One of them, they're talking about, like, their battle gear and how the helmets were made to look like insects.
Yes.
And I just the detail, I would love, I think my grandeur of being in front of the camera is long gone, but I think I would love to be part of a full production design. Like, just put me part, I just want to see a project like this from start to finish, and whether that's I'm literally taking notes from this person to that person or relaying a message, like, let me, like, I just want to say I was there. I was like, I think it'd be really good if you used the gold stitching instead of the white. And they'd be like, that's such a good idea. Like, I want to be that. I just want once. Just once.
Magic. Once. I really miss, like, whenever, like, Melina or Iris would do, like, short films when we were in college. Like, I would love to be on the set. And I would love to help with, like, you know, costume or makeup or whatever. God, that shit was so fun. I really wish, like, I could do that more. Like, that was like, a possibility because it's so, like, the creative process of it and, like, the planning and all that. Oh, God. It's so worthwhile.
I see you doing costumes for, like, independent local movies. Do it.
The dream. Oh, my God. I would love to. I would love to. And, I mean, like, they shoot stuff in Austin, don't they? So, like, I could do that.
And San Antonio. I'm sure San Antonio has a bustling film center. I completely I'll have lost to check it words.
Out. I saw them go whoop.
Literally watched them just zoom out of the frame.
Disappear. I really, like, in particular with the cinematography, I love
twice now you have said cinematography perfectly and beautifully, and I'm so proud of you for not making it a joke, and the fact that I'm calling it out right now is making me a little mad, but Bravo, friend.
It's because, like,
is it because it's actually, like, really good.
No, it's because that would be funny. No, it's because it's actually really great cinematography. And that was just for that season, you know. That's old news.
That's like 3 years, bitch.
I know. I really love their use of lighting and the direction that the light was going, and that there was a lot of kind of like diffused spotlights where it should be just like a really harsh light coming down, but for some reason he made it soft, but it works. Like, it's just very pleasant to my eyes. A lot of the interiors are like that. When he's like being tested by that old lady with the needle thing, like, yeah, there's kind of a spotlight on them in the middle, but it's diffused where it's not such a like harsh light that it's just like harsh shadows and everything.
I also really love that little globe light thing that followed him around.
Yeah, I want one. Cool. it was great. It's just a lot of, also, like, that was one of the things. That was one of the things I remember from the first time I saw the movie. To be able to successfully shoot exterior shots in the desert and not have like horrendously sharp shadows and like everything else just be like the background completely faded or overexposed, to have the correct exposure for your foreground and your background in the middle of the desert, that is a talented cinematographer. Wow. Like, I just can't. It's really successful. It's really successful. And I'm very happy to have seen this with my eyes.
I forget. Did you see The Tragedy of Macbeth?
I did.
I was telling Crystal, I feel like the sets are very similar and that they're very grand and tall and massive.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is so, like, just normal people sized.
Yeah, it's a really great contrast between, like, the person and the environment, which I hadn't thought about. Yeah, those two are pretty similar.
And the minimalist, obviously, the lines.
Yeah, and, you know, for as much detailed production design as this movie has, it does still happen to be very minimalist, just because, like, I guess Denis just had a very specific goal in mind. And that's, you know, that's what you want from a director. You want a clear vision. You want a clear direction. You want someone that can put all the pieces together in the right way, in the right order, and, you know, give everyone their moment to shine while still working as a whole. Like, that to me is a good director. And Denis Villeneuve fucking killed it. He fucking did it. Where's his fucking Oscar? I need him to get an Oscar right now. If he doesn't get one for the second Dune, I'm gonna be pissed.
Amen. Crystal had very much the same sentiments. She was saying that she thinks he'll get nominated for the second one. I was like, I don't care. I want him nominated for this one.
Right? Rewrite it. Fix it now. What if they opened the envelope and they were like, oh, just kidding, Denis Villeneuve, come up here.
There's a lot of write-ins.
Yeah. They were all me. I stuffed the ballots.
Joy faked her way to the Directors Guild and
made it. Are you kidding me? Oh my God, I would love to. I don't think I have enough organized vision to be a director. But God, just to be in there and just be able to talk to everybody, that would be great.
I would like to try and direct. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
There's one musical I feel like if I were handed the script today, I could do it.
Ooh, what musical? Not that I know it, probably.
Little Women.
Oh, I feel like you could do that. I feel like you could. I haven't even seen the musical, but I know you, and I know that you can.
I know that score so well. I've imagined it so many times. I could do it. Somebody hire me.
Yeah, hire her. She's free. Let's go. Give her some money. Give her a stage. Give her a theater. Let's go.
Okay, so versely from Don't Look Up, I believe, and Crystal agreed, that this deserves all 10 of its nominations, plus one for directing.
Can we go through the list, please?
Yes. Best picture. Check.
Yes.
Adapted screenplay.
Yes. Check.
Cinematography.
100%.
100%. Costume design. Yes. Hair and makeup styling.
For sure, for that egghead guy.
Original score, Hans Zimmerman can do no wrong.
Yeah, I feel like he really, like, he really outdid himself with this, because when we were watching it in theaters, I was like, I feel everything. Like, other than the fact that, like, the speakers are great. But I was like, oh my God, everything is so cool.
Man is magic. Yeah. Production design.
Yes.
Film editing.
Yeah, let's sure. go for it.
Visual effects.
Yes.
Best sound.
Yes.
Yeah. This time I actually feel like I can say yes for that one. It was great.
It was. It was. Yeah. Yeah. There's no. Yeah.
Is there. Am I crazy? Is there two sound awards?
I thought they put them into one after last year. Or after the year before.
Oh, is that what they did?
I think sound is the one that they squished them together. Mixing and editing.
Okay, cool. I was like, I feel like I'm missing a category. Cool. Love it. It's perfect. Now.
Yes.
How do you rank it?
Oh, okay. I got to rank things.
Again, she waits until it's time to do it to do it.
I forget about this, honestly. So what is it? That one, don't do that, and, shit, okay, well, my bottom two, no surprise here, Don't Look Up is in the bottom, and then it's Belfast. To choose between Coda and Dune is really hard for me, because these could not be, well, no, I can find some similarities in this, coming-of-age movies, sure, but, like, aesthetically and, like, practically and, like, directionally very different. I don't know. I really fucking love Coda. But, I mean, Dune. I don't know. I could go with either one of them.
And that, folks, is why we're friends, because Crystal and I said the same goddamn thing. We were like, these movies are so vastly different. Like, on they both satisfy different parts of my film heart.
Yeah.
That I love them both in different ways, but they're both, they could swap. It doesn't matter. They're one and two.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, Coda is very emotionally satisfying. And Dune is very technically satisfying. While still having, like, an emotional component to it. But, I mean, yeah, they're both great.
Wonderful.
I'm really upset that I didn't have a chance to rewatch Dune before I saw it, but I saw, you know, interviews and behind the scenes stuff, and I feel like that gave me. And then I looked up the cinematography. These shots, oh my God, I can't with these shots. The lighting alone, everything is great. Everything looks good. Everything is so weirdly soft, but, like, in a good way. Normally I'd be irritated by the fact that we're in the desert and it doesn't look like it, but it's in the shot of, like, when they're opening up the ship, when they're arriving on the planet, House Atreides is arriving on the planet, and, like, first of all, the sun on Oscar Isaac's face, secondly, the sun on Lady Jessica, where she has that veil, that whole everything where she was wearing the veil, I was like, that's it. That's oh, money. It's just so good.
Yeah.
It just looks great. And it was the perfect fabric and the perfect texture for that moment, for being in the wind, for that lighting. Perfect color.
Yeah, like, that color was gorgeous.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was just, like, a little bit brighter than the sand. It was flawless. Beautifully executed. Beautifully done. Yeah. I'm happy. Yeah.
And that's Dune for you, friends.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Drive My Car, and hopefully things will be back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, for those of you, our many listeners, we know you're out there. Thank you for listening. You're amazing. We know you like to, you're probably, probably, oh my gosh, you're probably noticing that we like to do things in alphabetical order, but oh my God, Dune is coming before Drive My Car. Yeah, we waited until it was available on HBO Max so we could watch it. There was, it wasn't showing anywhere near us. Actually, it was showing for a few days near me a couple weeks ago. It was showing at that theater, the Texas Theater in Oak Cliff. Where?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But I was like, I am not driving all the way out there at 6 o'clock for a 6 o'clock showing and getting out of there by myself.
And driving all the way back up north.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? We'll wait for it to be on HBO. So yes, we did go a little out of alphabetical order. Sue us. Actually, don't.
We have the money.
Nobody here got money.
We can't afford lawyers. Anyways, go see Dune if you haven't Dune. If you haven't Dune. If you haven't Dune it.
If you haven't Dune it. Watch Dune. It's so stupid.
My puns are so bad today. I love it.
Okay,
that.
I said paucity and like five times instead of possibly. So,
and that's so funny. Like you tried to correct it, and every time it just came out of your mouth the same way.
The same way.
All right. Are you
probably noticing? Anyway, thanks for listening.
Yay! Bye.
Sorry for repeating ourselves. No. We love you. Bye.
Bye.